What is up, and welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football Lovers Podcast. I am here today with a special guest. He is, go ahead and say your name. We got Dominic.
All right, how you guys doing? Also known as the real Get At Me.
Yeah. I'll say we're doing a podcast, followers or kind of league, where we got a bunch of guys going in our little draft, but we want to talk about some redraft stuff. Our overhyped guys, I want to say. So not necessarily guys that are just, you know, terrible values per se, because, you know, everyone technically has a value, but overhyped guys that are just going way too high up than what we believe should be going as their eight or where their ADP stands.
I was just gonna say, my list that I, you know, I've compiled here, it's one quarterback, two wide receivers, one running back, and one tight end that all have like ECR and top 10 in their position, but I can't say I'd want them to be my starter. So, you know, and they, you know, they're all RB1s or wide receiver ones, but would I take them as my wide receiver too? Probably not. You know, so it's those kind of guys. They still hold some value for me, but not at their, like you said, not at their ADP. And if you're in a league smart enough with some guys, these guys may drop to you at a value where you're like, okay, I know I just said I think he's overhyped, but if I can get him in the fifth round, I'll take him. So like I have, you know, a couple of those examples from the league that we're in currently right now.
Yeah, I want to say, like, every player has a value, like I said, but it's like you almost, like, you tell yourself, like, I'm not going to – like, it's like a guy that you're just not going to draft. Like, he's not on your board at all because you just think, like, he has this value per se that is, like, way up there, like you said, you know, top 10.
Right.
But you honestly, in your personal feeling, that like, you just don't see it happening kind of this year.
Yeah, I'll actually tell you, I kind of did my cheat sheet, and it's hard to see, but you'll say, like, you know, this guy right here, I whited his name out. I didn't even want him to be an idea in my head. When I looked at my cheat sheet and I thought of where, you know, where I go, I don't even think about it. Don't look at him. He's not there.
Dang.
Like, that's how I felt about some of these guys, and I did that a couple weeks ago with my cheat sheet when I was looking at it. I'm like, don't even think about it.
I was saying, it's crazy that we just like write people off like completely, but I mean, I do the same thing.
Wrong.
Like,
I mean, we could all be wrong. I mean, it's just, but that's part of the game.
Yep. And it's just how we feel about certain players.
All right. So why don't you start us off?
All right. So my first guy that I think gets overhyped, and he had like a little stretch of getting his ADP risen again through a cute little photo that he posted and little workout videos, was James Conner.
Yep.
You know, we got his ADP right now in redraft, since that's what we're ranking him as, RB 17 and 30th overall. You know, yeah. I can't get over his injury history. You know, his injury history includes, you know, concussion, ankle sprains, on the same ankle, which sucks, right. A knee sprain, an AC joint sprain, and, you know, but he had cancer, you know.
Right. I think he also has some shoulder stuff.
Yeah, that's the AC joint.
Oh, the AC joint, right.
Yeah, I'll say, so I actually had that injury in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Never the same. Like,
yeah. I dislocated my shoulder a few times in high school wrestling. And that wasn't fun. I had surgery on it once. I actually dislocated three times, twice in high school and one in college wrestling. So,
wow.
You know, those are not fun once they start popping. They come out a lot.
So, for like this, his case, like the AC joint is, it can either sprain up or down, which I'm not sure how his went. I'll say, so for my case, like my shoulder, it the joint right there bent down right here.
All right.
And so the way it healed, it was just, it healed terribly. I'll say, and they don't recommend surgery on it. No. So it, there's just pain there now. So I, for him, because the style of play that he is, which is another reason why I don't like him, it with all these injuries, is he's a bruising back.
He wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. So he doesn't have the elusiveness. He doesn't have the speed. You know, his top end speed is a 4.6 by 40.
Right.
You know, he's not a guy that can, you know, hit to the outside really quickly. And, you know, he's only – well, I'm not going to say only. I'll say he's 6'1 and 235 pounds. So he's just like a
– he's a little bulky, bigger than me.
Yeah, he's just a bulky dude. 5'7",
160 pounds.
Yeah, he's just a little bigger.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there on that. James Conner would – a Pittsburgh Steeler lead running back should always hold that RB1 value to you. But James Conner's, like you said, James Conner's not the one.
Yes, and, like, it's so hard. Like, that's why I think his ADP always stays up there, is because, you know, you just always seen the history of Steelers running backs and the way they're utilized. They're
20-touch guys. They, you know, they're at least with Le'Veon Bell. They're reception guys. I mean, Le'Veon Bell was a completely different running back than, you know, Jerome Bettis before him, the bus.
Or, I mean, but, you can even talk about like Willie Parker when he was there. Man, I love Willie Parker.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, it's an organizational thing where AFC North run the ball. Like, they get it.
Yeah, it's like in their blood. Like, this is what we do, and this is how we're going to get it done. Okay, yeah, he's one of the guys that I can't stand. And he's definitely overhyped, in my opinion. I don't think he even – ends up near his ADP when he finishes the season.
Probably not. And being a Browns fan, I hope not too.
Shoot, if he even finishes the season.
Right. Which is a better chance that he won't, which is another reason why his ADP should drop more.
Exactly.
Should I go with – I hate both of these guys equally. I'll go with the one who personally burnt me a couple years ago. I'll start with that guy. He's one of the whited out names on my list.
Okay.
It's Amari Cooper. You saw what happened in our league.
Oh, yes.
You know, everybody's seen it. A couple years ago, I'm pretty sure I took him as one of my first wide receivers off the board. It was a sophomore year. The guy was a bum. He had one good game out of, like, you know, all 16. I tried trading him all year. Nobody wanted him. He did nothing. I think he had one good game, and that was it. And, you know, I spent a second or third round pick on him back then. And ECR's got him at wide receiver 10 right now. I think ADP – I don't have the ADPs in front of me, but I think it was somewhere in the mid-20s. But that's just not a guy – he's not a guy I want as my wide receiver 1. And even at my wide receiver 2, I could look up or down. And
yes.
I could find somebody else. I mean, things I don't like about Amari Cooper, his injury history. You know, just last year alone, you know, he got paid and he was hurt and just kind of sitting out there on the field. And us as fantasy owners aren't getting this information that he's just going to be a decoy. And he goes out there and he puts up a goose egg in a game that he played 40 snaps in, you know, so I'm not going to use that guy as my wide receiver 1. Also something that stood out to me last year. He only had 2 games with double digit catches and that was only 11. So again, I'm looking for a guy who is your number one target. Like, I need this guy that is going to get targeted.
And consistent.
Yeah, consistently targeted.
Yeah. When you're going that high, you know, you want a guy that's always going to be you know, he's not a boom or bust play.
Right.
You want a guy that's going to be solidifying your lineup. rather than like, oh, he could win me a week, or you know, he's gonna lose me a week.
Right. At that position, you know what I usually always went? Like if I was looking for, you know, if I was on the back end of wide receiver ones, the guy you should be looking for was, you know, the Keenan Allen of 2012 to 2018. You know, we're talking 18 targets a game, 10 receptions minimum.
Yeah, you know, just peppered.
He was going to get the ball, and he ran the whole route tree. He, you know, did things that, you know, other wide receivers don't do. He was just the complete, you know, he might have lacked touchdowns in some of those seasons, but it doesn't matter when you're getting 125 targets minimum for the season. Yeah,
and touchdowns, like, I hate when somebody's just like, oh, this guy, like, is so good because he had, like, so-and-so touchdowns. Like, he was double-digit touchdowns. And it's like, touchdowns, you can never – I want to say
that.
It's not something that's replicated every single season because they're so – I want to say
volatile. Consistent. Yeah, they're just they're not something that, you know, can be projected in because of game flow or weather, you know, things like that. When you're talking, especially for a wide receiver, like a running back, starting running back, some of those guys at the top tier, you might be able to project, okay, 10, 12 touchdowns. But Aaron Jones, 15 touchdowns.
Yeah,
I'm not projecting that.
Yeah, it's not easily replicated. Like you can't do that again. I mean, he can. It is in his
can.
It's his ceiling.
But you're not going there. And I guess my last take on Amari Cooper, just to take a stab at him. I don't think Dak's that good. And
oh wow,
with the other mouths to feed, I think they need to go back to Zeke. Because I think this whole Jerry Jones, I think he's got a dream of an offense. I think he thinks that he could run an offense like the Kansas City Chiefs with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper. But I don't think it's going to be what he thinks it is. And they're going to find out real quick. And Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
The new Cowboys head coach, you know, he runs a little bit of different offense too, so it's not going to be.
And I don't really know what their offense is going to be because
the way they drafted, sounds like they want to go three wide.
Well, and supposedly they're going to let who's offensive coordinator last year?
That's Matt Moore. Or not Moore.
His last name Moore?
I think it is. Yeah, he was like the TCU quarterback.
He was Boise State.
Boise State. Moore something. Something yeah. more.
But anyways, so they're supposedly saying that he's still just going to take full charge of the offense, which is
right.
good because I hated Mike McCarthy's offense. It was so boring and plain and vanilla. And,
right. And you had one of the greatest quarterbacks in the last two decades.
Yes, and he didn't utilize him well. So, like, it would have been terrible for him to take over, like, for the offensive side of that.
Right. Especially, again, I mean, I guess not to take a shot at Dak, you know, you just had a 4,000-yard season.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever progress they're making is Dak as a passer, you know, that's going to negatively affect anybody looking for Zeke. But at the same time, moral of the story is Amari Cooper's not it. He's well, not so the like, answer.
I like Amari Cooper. I mean, not
right, I like Amari Cooper in the fourth round. Like I said, at some point I will say I'll take him. But
he's actually one of the guys where, like, I can't gut out taking him because, like, I look at him and I know that I actually did a post on him. I'll say he reminds me of, like, he's a yo-yo player.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have spikes and, like, he'll have, like, 30, 40-point games and you're just like, this is what I want every single week. Like, this is the guy. But right. then, like you said, he'll have goose eggs. Like, what wide receiver one puts up goose eggs?
Right, Tyler Lockett puts up goose eggs as a wide receiver one.
He is actually on my list, goddammit.
he's not on my list. I'm just giving you an example. But Tyler Lockett is not ECR 10, you know, for wide receivers. Tyler Lockett is down there in the 20s where he belongs because he can put up a zero.
Anyway. Yeah, so actually, so Tyler Lockett's on my list, and he's going at the wide receiver 23 and 56th overall. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like once DK Metcalf came into his own and he actually started not just, you know, running those, like, three specific routes. Like, I forgot, I think it's on Next Gen Stats where you can see the type of routes that they ran per game.
Right.
And legit, you know, whenever they said, like, in the combine, this guy runs good slants, fades, like, runs good nine routes.
And post.
And post, like, all the short stuff, mm-hmm. that's all he actually did the first, like, 10 weeks of the NFL. But once he started progressing, they started letting him do more routes. You know, he started doing drags. He started doing, you know, the comebacks. And you saw his development. And once that happened, Tyler Lockett's points went drastically down. His targets were already going to be low. He relied on efficiency with one of the most efficient quarterbacks in Russell Wilson. But then once – even if you try to make him even more efficient, that's like you're trying to be like Mecole Hardman. You know, right. Like he had like six touchdowns on like 20 or 30 receptions.
I didn't even think it was that many receptions. I thought he had six touchdowns on six catches in 2 weeks.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like. The one guy who picked him up and played him the first 2 weeks after Tyreek Hill went down, I'm like, did he score a touchdown every time he touched the ball? Like, all four times?
And it was. So I don't see how like Tyler Lockett can remain this valuable. Like that was pretty much where he finished last year, was around that 20 range.
Yeah. That's wide receiver two. It's valuable. Like I said, you know, the draft we just took, you know, I was happy to pass on Lockett and I waited for Lockett to go. And then the following round, I took DK Metcalf. And again, you don't project the upsides, but you can look at red zone targets.
Yeah. You know,
once Will Disley went down, you know, without their tight end, you know, DK became their top threat in the red zone. So, I mean, those are valuable targets. You know, those targets are worth more.
Most valuable targets for a while.
So, I mean, that's another thing. You know, Russell looked at him in the end zone more than anybody else.
And I think a really underrated signing that they had was signing Philip Dorsett. And all he does is be a deep route guy. He is a burner, and he stretches the field for you. But that's kind of what Tyler Lockett does too. So
yeah.
I don't see Tyler Lockett returning value at that ADP of his. I wouldn't even want to take him in, like, the seventh round. Like, I feel like I just don't see him. I mean, and I'm a Seahawks fan, which it hurts. But I just can't see Lockett returning value. And I think his hype is remaining super high up there due to the fact that he's tied with Russell Wilson.
Right. I would say that would be the, you know, the only reason why I might take him before the seventh, but you know, not the fifth.
Well, you know, so
somewhere in that sixth round.
Like there's guys like Tyler Boyd that I'd rather take over Tyler Lockett or who was it? I want to say Michael Gallup goes right after him too, and I'd honestly rather take
Michael Gallup's in that tier range. Jones Jr., Cortland Sutton, AJ Green, Terry McLaurin. You know,
they're on my list too. I hate both those guys.
Overhyped.
So AJ Green, I hate him. Disgustingly overhyped. He's gonna die this year probably.
I think he could be a good. I think. What's his ADP at?
So I got him for redraft leagues. He is the wide receiver 28 and 67th overall.
Okay. Yeah, I said wide receiver 26 here on my cheat sheet.
Yeah, so roughly in the same range still.
Yeah, and I you know, if you take into consideration all the running backs, all the quarterbacks, I forget what round, you know, Joey Fantasy took AJ Green there, but it was late. It had to be like 8 or 9, and it was kind of just a flyer. And I think that's all AJ Green's going to be. Anybody who's taken him and they're like, oh, he's going to be my flex, I think.
Is wild.
I think you're a little high hope there if you think he's going to be your wide receiver 3 in a flex position. He might win you 1 week. I'll give him that. Maybe, you know, he might catch a couple touchdowns. Look at his quarterback. You know, that's usually, like I said, when I'm trying to break a tiebreaker, you know, who's his offense? What offense is he involved in, and who's the quarterback?
Yeah, so, and I do think that if he could remain healthy, AJ Green's a phenomenal player. Like, he always could produce, but I just think his age is going to make it a lot harder for him to recover from these lower body injuries. And in recent history's past, it showed that bigger bodied receivers, when getting multiple lower body injuries, they just don't produce the same type of numbers that they were before. So that's one of the things that just kept going in my mind as a reason why I just have him like as like a do not draft kind of guy, because of the potential for him to only play about like 6-7 games. And then, you know, I feel like I'd rather have I'd rather pick a flyer with more consistency, with not as much upside, but more consistency.
I'd say if you want the opposite of AJ Green, you know, go grab yourself T. Higgins. Because if you're waiting for Green to go down, then Higgins will step right in. Higgins, Boyd.
Yeah, they got John Ross, too. And
John Ross, 3.
I'm saying, but they don't have much at the tight end position either, so.
I think they're punting tight end this year.
Yeah, they got CJ Uzuma.
Yeah.
Or Uzoma, however you pronounce that.
Yeah, they let Tyler Eifert go.
And shoot, but for all we know, Jordan Reed's about to sign with them.
Well, he'd be injured too.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, opposite of Green, my overhyped is AJ Brown.
Woo!
You know, he's ECR 16 wide receiver 16. If you look at his numbers last year, he was the epitome of boom or bust. You know, he didn't get much done with – he had one big game with Marcus Mariota, and I think he had two big games with Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, he doesn't have the target volume that I like. Again, he had no games with 10 catches. Every time I saw him out on the field, he was just running straight down the field as fast as he could. It's what it looked like. And, you know.
Run, man, run.
And then on top of that, that offense is very – it's Derrick Henry's offense. And
yes, you know, run heavy.
Whether or not A.J. Brown gets the ball is depending on whether or not Derrick Henry's doing his job. And the offense is not built to have Tannehill throw the ball 30, 35 times a game. So
now I do see them throwing it a little more than last year. I'll say I think they had only like – I think it was averaging around like a 20 attempts per game, which is super low.
It's low.
But I don't see it all directly like, oh, they're going to increase 10 more attempts per game. Oh, it's all going to go straight to A.J. Brown.
Like, no, I mean, Jonnu Smith, that guy named Corey Davis is still hanging out on that team.
Yeah, and I actually like Corey Davis. I'll say he's athletic. I'll say he can catch. It's just
– they've been saying that for 3 years.
I don't know. He's just not utilized, maybe.
Maybe it was Marcus Mariota's fault.
I guess we will never know unless they actually throw him the ball.
Right. Yeah, so A.J. Brown, he's one of those guys where it's just you know, a lot of hype because he might have won a few people their fantasy playoffs because one of his big games was there when everybody was watching, and he put up 32-something points there in week 14 or 15.
When it mattered.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, you know, that's a lot of the hype train, I think, has got him going. And he's somebody I'm fading there as my wide receiver too. The perfect example, like I said, I'm a big volume target guy. You know, going one spot behind him is Adam Thielen.
Oh, 100% rather have Adam Thielen.
Yeah, if I could have Adam Thielen and his 15 targets a game, you know, it doesn't matter to me that they're not going to be more than 12 yards down the field. I'm going to take that that kind of efficiency from Kirk Cousins over waiting for a 60-yard touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill all day.
Yes. Couldn't have said it better.
I'll say my running back for last because I hate, you know, I think I hate him the most after Amari Cooper.
Nice.
We'll go with one of my Cleveland guys, my tight end, Austin Hooper. He's
okay.
Depending on what you call hype, I mean, he is, what did I have him at? Number 9, you know, ECR 9. So there's telling somebody to start him, you know, draft him as a starter.
Yep.
Even though in the tight end, in the tight end world, nobody's a real starter outside of
the
George Kittle, forward, George right. Kittle and Travis Kelce, and I guess Mark Andrews now.
Yeah, and I kind of hate Mark Andrews too. Like,
I think he needs another year. I think having a good year as a tight end is completely possible, but
yeah. Well, and the fact that he was actually one of, you know, he was the efficient tight end per se, that he ran hardly any routes, or no, not that. He had hardly any snaps, and on the snaps that he was on, that's all he did was run routes. He didn't block anything. So, I mean, for fantasy purposes, obviously all you care is the routes ran. But he's on a limited – well, I guess we're going off track for Austin Hooper, but for Mark Andrews, the Ravens' offense is ridiculously run-heavy, the most run-heavy. Right. And I hate Lamar Jackson on his accuracy. You can say all that you want, saying like, oh, he's improved. But no, ever since college, like I remember watching Louisville tape with my buddy, and he literally took he was about to take a sack, and he just lobbed it up there. Like,
right.
Like, who does that? Like, why would
Brandon Whedon does that.
No, and it was – but the crazy thing was his player caught it.
Oh,
like,
no.
His player happened to catch it, and, like, it was like a bomb that he just threw up in the air, and his player happened to catch it. I was like, this isn't – I told my buddy, I was like, this isn't going to go down as a terrible play because he completed it. But if this would have been picked off, it would have been complete role reversal and been, like, one of his worst things on his highlight tape.
I mean, Johnny Manziel had a – he had a plenty of those. But he got – because that was – I always said, too, and again, we're getting off topic by Austin Hooper, but, you know – coming out of that draft, the Johnny Manziel draft, you know, I was a big fan of the Mike Evans. I'm like, Mike Evans, you know, go watch that tape. Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel look relevant because there's probably 100 passes that season that shouldn't have gotten caught if it wasn't for Mike Evans just being the best athlete on the field at the time. So, I mean, I was pretty pumped about Mike Evans, and I've had a couple of shares of him, the last couple of years. So, you know, that kind of reminded me of your story there where he just kind of taught. So many times I watched Manziel just run around and I'm just like, nobody should catch that ball. And then all of a sudden, like, Mike Evans came down with it and it's a touchdown. And Johnny's like freaking out. And I'm like, you didn't do anything except for a terrible, terrible throw. And you got bailed out by your 6'7", 200 something pound, 19-year-old wide receiver who's a freak.
So, I'm saying, you actually. I'll say watching like Lamar Jackson like on the Ravens, what was it? They were trying to make that playoff tape saying it wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, look at all the drop passes that they had. And it's just like, dude, he was like launching them like barely out of their reach. And like they were like
drop passes because you don't have this, you don't have any draft, you know, name one of those wide receivers. You did that to yourself.
Oh, on the Ravens?
Yeah, the Ravens, they didn't have you any draft capital, and your best wide receiver should not have been the rookie you just picked up.
Yeah, or your tight ends just in general. Like,
and then in the same breath, Perriman that they cut, you know, he was, I think, the last time they took a wide receiver in the first round, Breshad Perriman, you know, he came to the Browns, I think, 2 years ago and had a really solid season and then ended up, you know.
Yeah, and then signing with the Bucks.
Then signed with the Bucks and put in and a really nice six-game stretch with them.
Yeah.
You know, now I think he's with the Jets.
Yep, he got a nice little one-year contract, but got himself some money.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, they got – that was just – I'm just using that example. And they had a number one wide receiver.
Just didn't use him.
They drafted him to be a number one wide receiver, but maybe it was you know, Joe Flacco's fault that, you know, they thought things weren't working out and they got rid of him. But
yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, yeah, but, Austin Hooper, man. Like,
yeah, about that guy. Austin Hooper, like I told Joe in the chat, I said, Austin Hooper had 93 targets last year. Yes, that's great. That's what you're looking at. I said, but he's not in Atlanta anymore.
Yeah, those are fabricated targets.
Yeah, those are not with him in Cleveland. In Cleveland, he's not the second or third option like he was in Atlanta. He's now the third or fourth option behind, you know, Odell, Landry, Kareem Hunt, and, then Austin Hooper. Those are the guys that Baker Mayfield's going to be comfortable with. So Austin Hooper, I mean, he may, if he does, you know, savage any value, it's going to be in the red zone. Because
they don't have anybody tall. There's nobody big or beefy.
You know, if you look at Baker Mayfield's stats, I think, you know, out of the 20 touchdowns he may have thrown, I'm pretty sure like 12 of them went to tight ends, but they never were to the starter. I think it was like two to every one of the seven tight ends we have on our roster.
And random.
Seal Jones, who like washed up on our shores. I was like, we have that guy. None of them went to Njoku, except like the first one. I think that's the one he broke his shoulder, his wrist on. I think it was his wrist.
Yeah, I think it was his wrist.
Yeah, he caught that one touchdown and then broke his wrist, and Dunzo. Then it just was any other tight end that was on the field was scoring touchdowns for us. So yeah, Hooper's guy. I would, you know, especially at the tight end position, there's other guys to take a chance on, which is kind of how I've, you know, come across the tight ends, like, you know, late round tight end, round quarterback.
In this draft, like, you chose Hayden Hurst. Like, man, I so wanted Hayden Hurst. God damn it.
I thought a few people didn't, you know. it was every round I was wondering if it was getting too late. And I'm like, ah, shit.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking him, and I was just like, maybe I could just wait one more round. And then you take him, I was like, God damn it.
Who you got left? I've got two guys left.
Let's say so. I've got three guys left. Let's say so. We can go about talking about my tight end. I think Rob Gronkowski in redraft is way too goddamn high.
Yep.
He is the tight end sixth and 68th overall. Tell me how that makes sense. Like, but I get it. He had a year, or pretty much 2 years, you know, off from no physical contact. You know, supposedly his body's all healed now, but I don't believe it, man. Like, I can't trust the fact that he's coming back. One, older. Two, not in football shape.
Like, he does look good. I've seen him doing all of his commercials and his game shows. You know, he doesn't look as
well. So he went from being super scrawny to then now putting back on a bunch of weight.
Yeah,
like that's got to do something to your body. Like, it's got to make it feel weird and put in a shock or something.
Possibly, I think it probably did him more good.
But yeah. But I mean, that's not the main issue that I have with him. Obviously, it's the major injuries that he has. Like, they're not like, you know, this guy sprained his wrist or something. Like, this guy has literally a laundry list of injuries. He's just compiled, stacked on top of each other. And for me to be like, oh, this guy is like, you know, almost near that top echelon of like top five tight ends to be drafted, and we don't even know what he looks like anymore. Like, Performance-wise?
Just name value. That's what he's getting drafted off of.
Which is terrible.
Well, some people don't know what they're doing, I guess.
Which is why he's way too overhyped for me, in my opinion. And the fact that, you know, he's also going to the Buccaneers, who, you know, in the Bruce Arians offense, they have never been able to, you know, really get a tight end going in his schemes.
Even if they use a first-round draft pick on him.
Yeah. And you know, we kind of saw that with O.J. Howard. Like, he doesn't produce. And Cameron Brate was there also, and he didn't really produce. Now you got three tight ends there that are all, you know, pretty good. But then you also got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. And, you know, I assume that they're going to plan on using Keyshawn Vaughn and Ronald Jones every so often in the pass game.
Right.
I just don't see the volume there. I don't see his upside be due to injury and due to volume and lack of touchdowns. Like, he's not, you know, New England, totally different story. This guy is the red zone.
Right.
And, like, that is like, oh, we're in the red zone. Hey, where's Gronk? You know.
Right. It was a lot easier. I will say, I think, you know, the one thing that would say that Gronk might be a better option is Brady's depth of target isn't what it used to be. He's, you know, I think Godwin and the running back and whichever tight end's on the field is going to, you know, benefit the most from what type of play Brady's, you know, got left. Yes. I think Mike Evans is going to be the one who's going to have to work a little harder to get back up to, you know, his value. But I think, again, like you said, though, Bruce Arians hasn't used his tight ends. So that would be my biggest thing to shy away. And now that there's two of them, you know, Cameron Brate was easy to write off last year and be like, oh, you know, O.J. Howard. But you know, if you're trying to decide between O.J. Howard, who's supposed to be a stud compared, you know, and now Gronk's there, now you got two guys who you both should feel much better about and you can't. Yeah.
And I feel like the only thing that people are really, like, I guess, trust falling into is the rapport and the chemistry with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And they're just assuming, oh, they're together again, he's going to put up the same numbers. Like, that, I feel like that is the only thing that you could logically be thinking about, and it's not even the best argument.
No, because, I mean, you know, Brady's a good quarterback to not let – a false narrative
run the game script.
Influence his decision making. Yeah, he's not going to sit there like in the middle of a pass call, oh, that's my buddy over there, I'm going to throw it to him, when he knows where the best play is. So, yeah, no, I agree. You know, Gronk should not be drafted as your tight end one, you know, in that one spot for you.
Especially that high. Like, Austin Hooper is still technically a tight end one, and but it's like the fringe, you know, tight end one near the end. Right. He's going number six, and it's just like, not people are really like believing in this guy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I'd take Mike Gesicki over Gronk at this point.
Nice. Like, five rounds later.
Right. I guess since we're talking about Tom Brady, Tom Brady's my overhyped quarterback.
Ooh.
I think, you know, he's at ECR 10 on some of my list, 11 on this one for quarterbacks. I don't see Tom being able to produce QB1 numbers weekly or even, you know, every day. Or, yeah, like I said, weekly numbers. It's going to be good and bad for him to play in this new division where the defenses are so bad. But at the same time, he's on a bad defense. So if
– yeah, what if he goes from behind?
Right, because if they get behind, Tom, I don't know how, you know, 44 years old or whatever he is, you know, he can't throw the ball 45 times a game. He can't, you know, he doesn't – he's not going to be able to Jameis Winston them back into games chucking the ball like that. So yeah.
Jameis Winston, like, he made some really bad decisions and bad plays, but man, like, when you saw some of those good ones, you were just like, that was pretty good. Like, right. What a throw.
Yes, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm not buying the hype that, like you said, he's got Gronk, he's got Mike Evans, he's got, you know,
the dream
Chris Godwin. You know, it's going to be tougher sledding than I think, you know, anybody realizes. And I think the real winner here is going to end up being Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, when it's all said and done, you know. If I was to take somebody, though, wide receiver, it would be, you know, Godwin over Evans, like I told you why.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, the slot receiver, that shorter depth of target, you know, just, you know, more manageable throws for Brady at this stage of his career. But, you know.
And the fact that, you know, if he does throw it to Godwin, you know, he could do stuff after the catch. So right. It might make him look better.
Right. And, you know, I think it's going to be different, too, for Brady, you know, not playing in Foxborough, not that there's going to be any fans in the stadiums anyways. It's, you know, a lot of what made Brady well was how much better he was at playing in the elements than some of his, you know, opposing quarterbacks. Like,
and now he's in paradise.
And now he's down there. Now he's, you know, he's going to play in a dome twice at Atlanta and New Orleans. He's going to be down in, you know, Tampa Bay for 8 games a year. It's, you know, it's going to be a little different. Like I said, those defenses are terrible and shootouts have never been Brady's forte. Not to call Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time, a game manager, but he could manage a game and then win the game down by one touchdown in his last possession. But he's not the guy who's like, oh great, we're losing 21 at halftime, it's no big deal, let's go do it. Other than the Super Bowl when they did it against Atlanta, I guess that was a bad example.
Yeah, I'll say, well, I think that was more of a
that was Atlanta's fault.
I'll say Atlanta literally could have just ran out the clock on that one, but
Everyone's done the math. They could have caught that Julio Jones first down and ran the clock out.
Yeah. But
and they threw the ball again.
But instead, yeah, everyone knows the end of the story. So on my quarterback, I'll say you're probably gonna hate it because I think you just drafted him. It was Cam Newton.
He is hyped. Get hyped.
And man, I can't like make myself want to draft Cam Newton yet. Like, I don't know if he's actually going to be proclaimed the starter. Like, I get it. He has the resume. He has right. You know, the MVP. The whole like he's actually taking the team to the Super Bowl, and he has that, you know, full on like history of looking good and being good. While Stidham, you know, he's just, you know, I think his first couple snaps in the NFL, he threw like 2 interceptions. So
I've never heard of Stidham until I think February.
Oh, well then.
Like I'm saying, that's what I know of whatever Stidham's name is. Like I said, I had no idea where they got the, you know, they must have drafted him last year, but
yeah, they did.
You know, I know nothing about Jarrett Stidham. I just looked it up. His first name is Jarrett. Yes. So, I mean, that's how much confidence I have in Jarrett Stidham is I haven't bothered to learn his first name yet. But again, like, you know, like you saw in my strategy, if I'm taking Cam Newton as my QB2 in the 10th round, you know, I'm taking my flyer there.
Yeah, he has high upside, obviously, but I'm just afraid of his foot and his shoulder injury because, one, that takes away his already – he was already terribly inaccurate as a quarterback, and his one fantasy-relevant thing that made him good was his mobility. And I'm not sure, and I'm not 100% confident in the fact that he is still the same mobility-wise. So that's why it irks me, and it just pulls my heart to be like, no, don't draft Cam Newton.
At the same time, you know, he's going to the Patriots. You know, that's like back to my original example of the Steelers running back. What does the Patriots do? Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, they know talent at quarterback.
Matt Cassel.
Yeah. Matt Cassel. You know, Josh McDaniels, you know, even worked with Tim Tebow and won a playoff game. You know, so the guy knows how to, you know, the guy knows what he's doing, you know, to – he's not one of those quarterbacks that's stuck in his way. He will adjust to your skill set and, you know, work the offense towards you. So, you know, if I was here to advocate for Cam Newton, which I'm not because I want to have him for myself, you know, I think you get your QB1 first and then go for Cam. But, you know, if Cam's sitting there at some round, I mean, eventually people are going to take the flyer because, like you said, he's been a QB1 twice. You know, he's, you know, up until 2017, he was like QB2, QB3, QB1, QB1, yeah, QB7.
He's always in top five. I think it was like his consistency, I think over like the past like 5 or 6 years before that, I want to say he was like the QB7 or higher.
Yeah, seven was his worst.
Yeah.
And I think he did finish first twice, and then he had like some twos and threes.
So obviously his ceiling is ridiculously high. But I just don't know. His new floor could be terrible. I just don't know. It's the uncertainty that makes me not want to do it.
Right. I mean, but it, at the same time, it's your, you know, look at Roethlisberger. You kind of would be weighing the same thought, you know.
Well, except he's older.
And that was something else. I mean, some people have actually argued with me that, you know, Cam's, he's 33 or 34, or whatever, however old the guy is. And I said, you know, not that he's Drew Brees. I said, that doesn't mean it's old for a quarterback anymore. I said, if you gave me Drew Brees at 34 years old, I would take that every day of the week.
Yeah, quarterback's a different position. Every other position, though, literally once you start hitting the 30s, like, declines start kicking in. Like, even for, like, premier wide receivers, like, I hate to say it, but this is probably, like, Julio Jones' is like, last good year.
See, I think Julio's going to be able to hold on, though, because he is a, you know, he's a Larry Fitzgerald type of, you know, wide receiver where he already knows how to beat you with more than just his speed. You know, he's got the hands and the route running and the skill, you know, the foot skills to keep himself productive in the NFL.
I don't think he's going to fall off the face of the planet, obviously. But yeah. I don't see him being that, you know, top five, you know, like he's always consistently top five. Like I've loved his consistency year in and year out for fantasy. But I think this is like his last like top five kind of season.
Yeah, and I can see that.
Next year, you'll see him be more of like the top 12. And then the next year after that is maybe like a top 20. And then, you know, it's just that slow decline for him. I'm not saying that, you know, next year is like, oh, man, take this guy off your draft board. It's like he's screwing you over. No, I think it's just going to be like a slow decline for Julio Jones after this year.
Yeah, I mean, any year, if you can get Julio and 110 targets from Matt Ryan, you know, I'm taking him. You know, Julio might hang it up when Matt Ryan hangs it up in 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that'd be probably his best bet to go. So who you got? I got one guy left. Who you got left?
So I got one guy, and it is Courtland Sutton. Okay. So I got him at the ADP wide receiver 25 and 60th overall.
I've got him at 25.
So last year I loved him. Like, he was one of the guys like I hyped up ridiculously amount because I was like, this is my sleeper pick, you know, get him in the 10th round kind of guy. And you know, he broke out. He did great. You know, he was super consistent, even with the terrible quarterback play. But, man, this year, completely opposite. Like, now you have to get him in the 5th round, and he's now in a more crowded wide receiver room. You know, Jerry Jeudy is one hell of a talent. And I think even KJ Hamler could have been a wide receiver 1 on somebody's team, kind of like a Jalen Reagor-esque type of player. And, you know, you still got Noah Fant there, who I think is going to get his. But I think the Denver Broncos are actually going to be more run-heavy this year due to the fact that they beefed up their offensive line, drafting Nataim Muti, who is came out of Fresno State, and literally his best thing that he did there was run blocking. He wasn't the best pass blocker, but phenomenal run blocker. And they brought in – from the Lions, was it Glaxo or whatever? Graham Glasgow. He was their guard. So, you know, now you're bringing in, you know, two beefy run blocking guards. You bring in Melvin Gordon, who is a pure runner. I mean, he can catch passes out of that.
He can catch.
But he's a better running, like, actual pure runner. So I don't see Cortland Sutton paying off this year.
No, not at that value. Like you said, he was sweet last year for everybody who, you know, took that CeeDee Lamb, that Jalen Reagor type of flyer on him. But no, I know I drafted Melvin Gordon in our league, but that was because I missed out on running backs for the first two or three rounds there, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to not take Melvin Gordon in the fourth round. So, I mean, I can see what you mean there. I would stay away from him, especially if, you know, if you don't have two wide receivers yet, Sutton's not the one I'm grabbing there for my second one, especially because, like I said, he's in that area of DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry are right there behind him. So those are all three guys I'm taking before him.
I feel much more comfortable with either the consistency. Like Keenan Allen, even though he's got a different quarterback, I think just his style of play is more translatable to different quarterbacks rather than, you know, like Mike Williams on his team, who actually like almost needed Phillip Rivers to be kind of like chucking the ball downfield.
Yeah. No, I mean, Keenan Allen will, you know, he'll show that he's a good wide receiver. You know, he's not DeAndre Hopkins, but you know, DeAndre Hopkins showed that he's a great wide receiver because he's put up top 10 finishes with 7 different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, so Matt Schaub to Deshaun Watson, you know, the guy, you know, he's proven reliable target.
Like Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, Osweiler. Brandon Whedon for like a game or two.
Yeah, those were the like, oh snap, like this guy is good because they're putting some bums at quarterback.
Right. My last guy is Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. Hate him. Hate him. I proved I hated him.
Yeah, when I drafted him.
I hate him for – did you get him in the first round?
Yeah.
See, hate him.
I felt like half PPR. I felt
he
like
– he doesn't catch the ball. There's no reason to draft him in half PPR.
So I was debating on between him and I want to say Eckler.
I would have gone Eckler. See, the that's thing- who I had to.
The reason why, like, if it was full PPR, I would have probably went Eckler. But because half PPR, I just felt like the rushing upside and the fact that he was so good against stacked boxes last year made me want him more in half PPR league. But if it was a full PPR, then obviously change the story. Eckler dominates in their game.
I don't. I just, you know, they kept Jalen Richards. They drafted.
Lynn Bowden.
Yeah, Lynn Bowden. You know, they clearly don't want him to be their pass catching back. You know, looked at his numbers last year, even when he was the lead. Washington got, you know, the most receptions out of the backfield.
Hey, and Washington's gone, though.
I know he's gone, but I'm saying they weren't. And then they got Lynn Bowden. They need somebody else to catch the ball. I think Josh Jacobs' best game on receptions was something like 4,
maybe 5. Yeah, I want to say it was pretty low.
And I think he never finished with more than maybe – I think he had one game with like 63 yards. You know, it just doesn't scream, you know, first-round running back, because I look at the offenses as a whole sometimes when I just decide to hate people, and I don't like Derek Carr. I don't like any of their wide receivers. They're all very young. You know, outside of Darren Waller, I don't think there's a single guy on the Raiders team I'd want on my bench. And Josh Jacobs included in that. You know, first thing I did when I picked up my list is Josh Jacobs and Amari Cooper got their names whited out.
Damn.
I don't want to see their names.
Bro.
You know, I would – if I was picking, you know, Josh Jacobs, I'm taking Joe Mixon, Kenyon Drake, Miles Sanders all over top of him.
Well, see, I have a weird feeling that Miles Sanders is still going to be utilized in, like, a committee. I don't feel like they're going to actually 100% go all in on Sanders, which is why I still think he's, like, a second-round talent, like, for fantasy. But to take him in the first round, it's just, like, I want more of a – not necessarily just consistency. I want more of a for sure thing. Like, I know Josh Jacobs is going to get goal line work. I know he's going to get all the carries in the world. And he showed that he can be productive even with, you know, like I said, the stacked front, which is, like, you know, the hardest thing to run through. Right, so
I think at the same time, you know, he missed – what did he miss? 3 of the last 4 games with those shoulder injuries, and I might have been trying to run through that stacked front.
Hey, you could be right. Beating up,
you know, he may been a little more beat down, you know, come those important weeks. Again, just because I don't think that offense is going to open anything up for him. So again, you know, outside of Darren Waller, I don't see much from this offense.
Since you know, I'm not necessarily a Josh Jacobs truther, but
I take him in the first round.
That is my value for him. But so
I have him valued at whatever it costs me to white out his name.
Damn,
it's the most I would spend on that guy.
So I think Derek Carr is a decent quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but he obviously in the right system and with the right weapons, he showed that, you know, he had like an MVP caliber type of season. And I hate Terrell Williams, and I think he's gonna, you know, whittle away soon and just kind of break his legs probably. But that guy is soon to be beaten up off the team. But Henry Ruggs and I think Bryan Edwards, even though they're super young, I think they're going to be studs for the future. I don't see Henry Ruggs being the, you know, people are saying like the next Tyreek Hill. I see him more of like a Deshaun Jackson, but with less crazy boom plays, because Deshaun Jackson is just, he's a better route runner than Henry Ruggs than some people see. But I can see their offense being more opened up, causing there to be less stacked fronts, so not as beaten up for Josh Jacobs. And
hopefully
in my case. And I think that he will be utilized not a whole lot more in the passing game, but just enough to where, you know, I think he might get in the range of like, you know, 40 to 50 targets, which is double what he saw last year.
Right.
And I feel like that just makes his value a lot more, I guess, how to say it, like validated?
I mean, you know, that's why you debate these, you know, like I said, you know,
There's two sides to every story.
You're willing to take him in the first round, and I'm willing to not even look at his name on my piece of paper.
Damn, I mean, rough.
That's I mean, but you find people like that. You know, there's probably somebody that I have highlighted here who you'd be like, never in a million years. And, you know, those are just, you know, the way you want to look at the numbers. I guess that's really what the fantasy football is about.
Yeah. I'll say, I had some, like, I'm amazed we actually didn't have any that were the same, like, on our fingers. Because if we did, I'll say, I even threw some honorable mentions on mine.
Let's make them quick. My wife wants your computer back.
Okay. I'll say, so, just to throw out some names out there, I didn't do, like, any write-ups on them or anything. Jameson Crowder. I think everyone says he's a sleeper pick, and because everyone keeps saying he's a sleeper pick, he keeps moving up draft boards.
Right, but I think he's still available in our league, or he just got drafted in the 11th round.
Yeah, but I remember when he was getting taken like the 14th, and it was like, oh, that's great. That's great value. Yeah, of course you want Jameson Crowder, but now it's just like he's getting drafted where like he's almost going to finish probably. So.
And you could just take Robbie Anderson instead. Or no, Robbie Anderson ain't there.
I'd rather take Denzel Mims over Jameson Crowder on the same team. But yeah, I got, you know, honorable mention him. I got Drew Locke.
I'm not touching Drew Locke, but is that really overhyped? He's QB26 on my list. That's a no go.
Well, so I remember whenever everyone was saying, like, you know, he's going to be, like, the next QB1 with upside because right when the draft ended and they added all the weapons, they were just like, oh, there's no way Drew Locke can fail. Everyone was putting the little captions for their post was like, he's a lock. You know what I'm saying? You saw those posts everywhere.
I seen him with Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield's a better quarterback than Drew Locke. So, you know, you have all the talent in the world around you. If you're OC and, you know, your own talent doesn't, you know, isn't going to let you, then it doesn't matter, you know, who's standing around next to you.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say that's going to turn into a veteran's paradise when Drew Locke leaves.
Oh, yeah. When he gets cut and Cam Newton's looking for a new contract next year because he just won a Super Bowl.
Ooh, high praise for him. Also, guys like Raheem Mostert, I don't like. Even with the trade rumors, like, he's still getting drafted too high, in my opinion. And also Evan Ingram, I don't like him getting drafted too high.
Yeah, I've fallen trapped to that. I had him a couple years, and, you know, the six games he did play last year, he was, you know, tight end 3, and then
but he has to be on the field.
The 9 games that he decided not to play last year, he screwed me royally because then I'm searching for Jonnu Smith and Noah Fant and hoping that it's going to be that game where they scored their 2 touchdowns, but it wasn't.
Yeah, let's say like those certain tight ends where he's just like, all right, this is their boom week, I swear. Right.
Who's playing against Arizona? That's what it seemed to be.
Yeah, you were scheming. You were starting to stream tight end and be on that struggle. Yeah, so like just those two guys. Also, Mostert, for the fact that he's old and he was never proven until last year. Suddenly, right.
He was on the Browns. Fun fact.
Oh wow!
But I think I don't think we drafted him, but I think we got him after he got cut from the team that drafted him.
That's pretty sad.
Because we had him for I think a year and a half.
And now he's just like, hey, pay me some money. Like, yeah. He's like, I did something. I proved everyone wrong. Like, it took you like 5 years in the league, man. Like, right.
And a perfect offensive coordinator.
Yeah, beautifully schemed for him to look good. It doesn't mean he is good.
So, but all right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, I want to say thank you for listening to our podcast, everybody. And if you guys, I'll say, I'm not sure if you're going to post this up, video, but likes, comment, subscribe, all,
right.
You know, all that good stuff. And, you know, say your goodbyes.
All right, see you guys later. It's a real good at me.
All right. And go give us both a follow. Follow me also at Fantasy Football Lovers on Instagram as well. Peace.
And at SWB Fantasy Football.
Oh, yes. Yeah.